The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, MAGA, you better just eat a Cracker Barrel. That's right, Cracker Barrel, because that's all you deserve, you racist, deplorable you, says some star of some cooking show. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today, our fourth and final hour on a very, very busy Monday in the summer, because that's how we roll. We get busy every day, even in the summer. As the president this morning came out and did a press conference on federalizing law enforcement in D.C., which we've talked about a lot today on the show, and I'll recap for you. But I wanted to get to this earlier, and I just didn't have a chance to get to it yet. But this actress and podcaster, Jennifer Welch, I don't know Jennifer Welch. I don't really know what she's in. But anyway, she says white Trump voters shouldn't be allowed to eat. Well, here, take a listen to this, and then we'll digest it. No pun intended. Like, I really did not mean that as a pun. I genuinely did not. I really didn't. Now I regret saying it. I really do. And this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VenariaDental.com. Here we go.
It with white people that triple Trumped.
Yeah.
That have the nerve and the audacity to walk into a Mexican restaurant, a Chinese restaurant, an Indian restaurant, go to perhaps their gay hairdresser. I don't think you should be able to enjoy anything but Cracker Barrel. And if you want to triple Trump, and you want to browbeat DEI, and you want to browbeat gay people, and you want to browbeat black people, as you've been doing for 400 years, and you want to browbeat this generation of immigrants that come over here and open up businesses earnestly, pay their taxes, you want to demonize them and call them rapists and felons and all this when the felon is the teeny weeny mushroom piece of Kankles McTaco at the top of the ticket. I have had it from top to bottom. White people that triple Trump should be banned, boycotted from enjoying the best thing that America has to offer, which is multiculturalism. Get your fat asses out of the Mexican restaurant. Get your fat asses over to Cracker Barrel, because nobody wants to see your smug ass, teeny weeny, pink arm, big gut around. Nobody wants to see that. No one.
Wow. Well, she is angry. Oh, man, there's a lot to talk about there. There's a lot to digest from that clip. So first of all, dropping a lot of curse words. Had to bleep that. DeSantis had to bleep a lot of that. I mean, it's no Trump the dump dump dump. Okay, first of all, the stereotypes the left does, where they stereotype Trump voters, they're still doing it. They're still doing it. Amazing. And she's calling each and every Trump voter a racist. I mean, you're racist. You can't go eat Chinese. How do you think the guy who owns the Chinese restaurant, or the woman who owns the Chinese restaurant, do you think she wants people who voted for Donald Trump coming in and paying her and buying food from her? What do you think? I mean, obviously, there are some whack jobs out there that put signs in their windows like Trump supporters not welcome, but they're the outliers and they're the crazy people. For the most part, if you have a business, if you have a restaurant, you're an Indian restaurant, do you want Trump supporters to not go there because rich, white, liberal Jennifer Welch says you should not go support those businesses? I'm asking the question. I'm just asking. I go to my favorite Chinese restaurant, Joe's Peking Duck in Marlton, New Jersey, all the time. Jack is always very happy to see me. He knows exactly what I do for a living. He's very happy to see me. And then your gay hairdresser. I mean, talk about a stereotype, right? I mean, this is what the left does. They stereotype everybody, even the gay hairdresser. I got news for you. Jackie cuts my hair, but there's a guy that works there who's not gay, and he's an excellent stylist. Like my buddy Doug is a hairdresser. He's married. I know his wife. I know their kids. And she's not a beard. He has a beard, but like a literal beard, but not, you know. But again, it's this, they don't know how to think about people outside of their elitist bubble. And they still don't get the idea that stereotyping every Trump supporter out there as a racist, scumbag, deplorable, doesn't work for them. They don't get it. They also don't realize that Trump crushed it with the Latino vote. And yes, he crushed it with the black vote, particularly among men, outperforming any president since Nixon. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that as long as they keep this up, I mean, it's what I've been saying. The only demographic the left has left are rich, white, college-educated liberals. That's it. That's their whole gang. That's their group. People like this. People like this lunatic. Jennifer Welch. So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I say keep going. I really do. Keep going. And then they go, you know, it's hard to. Then they go, obviously, the step further with the Nazi stuff and the Holocaust stuff and the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad, which I know we're all sick and tired of talking about. I am, too. I agree. But just to show you how deep this story's gone, even Friday on Bill Maher's show, they had Dr. Phil on, and he was talking, and they were both talking about the fact that liberals making Holocaust comparisons to a freaking jeans commercial and what this means for the broader cultural impact. And I look at these things through the lens of what are the political lessons here, and the political lessons that I see are that the Democrats have lost the culture war, and they have no support coming. The cavalry is not coming. I mean, Mandami, the socialist kook, is launching his anti-Trump tour in New York City. That's his whole campaign. Don't look at me and my policies. Let's talk about Trump. Here's this clip.
Sydney Sweeney came out as she was exposed as a Republican. This is the 27-year-old big movie star now. She was on Euphoria here on this network, and I think will be again when that show comes on. And she has the big jeans ad that was controversial. And they reported this like it was a scandal. She's a Republican. I just got to say, this is not where I want America to go. It is not a slur that someone is a Republican.
Oh, it depends on where you ask the question.
Yeah, what do you mean?
You ask the question in Hollywood, it's a slur. You ask the question in the Midwest, it's not a slur.
I'm saying it shouldn't be.
It should not be.
Or the other way around.
Exactly. But for people to go crazy over that ad and to say that she's got good genes, and for them to say that's the equivalent of the Holocaust, that this is the same as all of that, is an absolute insult. 6 million people were killed. 6 million Jews were massacred and murdered, and they equate that to a blue jean ad for a Hollywood actress. What an insult. That is ridiculous.
All right, first of all, she's not a Hollywood actress because they don't make movies in Hollywood anymore. And she lives in Florida. Gavin Newsom destroyed that industry, so I just need to get that across, too. I'm glad Bill Maher said being Republican is not a slur. And then the point that they made was, well, it is in certain circles, like Hollywood. But look, I'm telling you right now, they don't make movies there anymore. They make them in Georgia, red state. They make them overseas. They don't make them in California. And the people that work on those movies, the actual people, not the actors themselves necessarily, but the people that build the sets and hold the microphones and do the lighting and do the catering and all, I can almost guarantee you 2/3 of them, probably more, voted for Trump. All the union guys, because all those movies and TV shows, they're union. So all those people, they're Trump supporters. I'm telling you. Or at least they voted Republican. And yeah, the rich actors for the most part, but there's a lot of actors in Hollywood who are either in the closet or they just don't care. Like Jack Carr had his premiere for his new show, Dark Wolf, Terminalist Dark Wolf, which is premiering in August. the end of this month. I mean, Chris Pratt is the lead actor in that. Chris Pratt's been very open about where he stands on his faith. Obviously, his love of the Second Amendment. Taylor Kitsch is in that. I mean, after the first season of Terminal List was blasted by the left as a full-on MAGA orgy or whatever they said about it. I just remember the ridiculous reviews. I mean, Taylor Kitsch didn't run and hide. He signed up for a prequel that is literally about his character in the show. He was the guy. I mean, Taylor Kitsch is a very accomplished actor. You probably remember him as a quarterback from Friday Night Lights. But there's a lot more than you think, and I'm telling you that the influence of the left is even waning on Hollywood movies. Like, for example, or movies. I took my daughter today on a daddy date. She had camp, cooking camp, but it didn't start till the afternoon. So I took her to see Freakier Friday. And it's what she wanted to see. The original Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis and a very young Lindsay Lohan before Lindsay Lohan went crazy. And I gotta hand it to Lindsay Lohan. She's turned her life around. I mean, good for her. You know, she's turned her life around. But the original is the original is 1976 and it's Jodie Foster and it's Dick Van Patten and other people. But this one is a take off of the other Freaky Friday that you probably remember from the 1980s, which is the movie that is with Jamie Lee Curtis and with Lindsay Lohan. Did I say 1980s? I'm in 2003. 1980s. It feels like the 80s when you watch it, but it's 2003. It was a remake of the original. Anyway, this is a sequel to that film with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. Anyway, it's a great pro-family movie. There's a lot of jokes, I think, at the expense of political correctness and wokeness. Like, there's a food fight, and the pride flag gets all kind of food all over it. Like, I don't know. It just, to me, it was, I could tell that there were a lot of, like, it's good to make jokes at the expense of woke now. That's gone mainstream. And I personally think, because I love movies and I'm not going to boycott movies because of the outspoken wackos on the left, I saw Superman. It was not political at all. Not a scintilla of political. We saw Bad Guys 2. Great movie about right and wrong. A lot of good lessons there, I thought. Very good lessons about doing the right thing. Freakier Friday was all about family and the importance of family and why family matters more than anything. And it was also hilarious. And I saw The Naked Gun, the remake with Leslie Nielsen, and it was hilarious. And it was very politically incorrect. And I just think we've turned a cultural corner. And I think the left is still trapped in that cultural corner and they can't wake up from it. I'm not saying it's we're going back anytime soon, but we will go back because woke is like the villain in the movies who never dies. To think of Jamie Lee Curtis in her, I mean, she's a very talented comedic actress. Don't forget Trading Places and Fish Called Wanda. I mean, she's very funny and she's hilarious in this movie. But probably most would think she got her start in Halloween. And Michael Myers to this day is still alive somewhere, and they're probably working on Halloween 68. You know, where Michael Myers comes back again. Like, Freddy Krueger's coming back. You know, Jason Voorhees. Like, these guys never come back. Woke is very much like them. It's the horror villain you just can't kill. So it'll go away for a little while, but it'll come back. And you know who's next on the chopping block, don't you? He's obviously The View. Because Bill Maher also made the point that the ladies on The View are really not representative of women in America in these days, and they probably shouldn't be on TV. It's like, he knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. And then there's people who left, like Rosie O'Donnell, because she hates everybody. Everybody.
Blackout the system. Blackout the system.
Now, I don't know if that's code for something, and I don't know if I just unleashed a cyber attack. I don't know. I don't know if I did. If I did, I apologize. If something in your house is going off right now, then I apologize for doing that, because that should not have happened in your home. But, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, for example, was on a podcast and he was talking about how he needs to get he got his Italian citizenship just to be safe. He's the next one on the chopping block. Greg Gutfeld went on Jimmy Fallon's show last week. Jimmy Fallon is smart to realize it's time to reach across the aisle and bring on funny conservative people. There's no way Jimmy Kimmel's doing that. And again, you know, it's because this is a guy who started on the Man Show making a lot of jokes that were politically incorrect, where they would sit in recliners and drink beer and watch women on trampolines. He and Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla has one of the biggest podcasts in the country and a massive following. And the best thing that ever happened to him was when he was fired from that radio station in L.A. And he started his podcast back when nobody knew what the hell a podcast was. Oh, by the way, in Freakier Friday, Jamie Lee Curtis's character has a podcast. It's pretty funny. Because everybody has a podcast now. Look, I know there's a lot of them out there, but I always say something that my grandparents always said to me, which is the cream rises to the top. It's like there's a lot of radio hosts out there. I mean, there's hundreds of us. And the cream rises to the top in every aspect of life. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, I was thinking about starting a podcast, and you know, but there's so many out there. And I said, don't let that stop you. I mean, when I got into radio, they said, well, you know, you'll never make it. Not in a city like Philly. There's too much competition. Cream rises to the top in every aspect of life. But sometimes that cream hits the top and then it curdles and it gets disgusting and you have to throw it out. So while Adam Carolla will be continuing to be Adam Carolla, Jimmy Kimmel has been exposed as the guy who became a leftist fraud, or maybe he always was. And the Man Show was an act, a routine. Or maybe this is a routine. I don't know. It's hard to say. But all I know is that I believe his days are numbered.
A lot of people I know are thinking about where they can get citizenship. And
I do have Italian. I did get Italian citizenship.
You do?
I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I do have that. And what's going on is as bad as you thought it was going to be.
Way worse.
It's so much worse. It's
Why?
Just unbelievable.
What is worse?
I feel like it's probably even worse than he would like it to be.
Huh?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, every once in a while, I'll Google Trump regrets or MAGA regrets just to see all the people that I'm not happy that they're upset and that they're, but it makes me hope that maybe this will bring people together.
That was Sarah, what's her name, who he's doing the podcast with. I'm just saying, the culture war is over for now, but it will come back. It certainly will. I just think, again, you attack Cracker Barrel. People love Cracker Barrel. Of all races, they love Cracker Barrel. It's not a whites-only establishment. And I don't know. I mean, I've heard people tell me that even people who aren't Indian go to Indian restaurants. Now, is that cultural appropriation? I don't know. But if you go back to what that wacko was talking about earlier in the show, I wonder if anyone who doesn't eat in the ethnicity of which they're born is doing cultural appropriation, or if they cook in that manner, if it's cultural appropriation. I just don't know. I don't know what the rules are anymore. I just don't know what the rules are. But I do know that we're winning. So I like it. And I think America's had it with the wokeness. I think they've absolutely had it. And they've had it with crime, which is why they're happy that President Trump now is doing something about it. Washington, D.C. has the fourth highest homicide rate in the United States in 2024, with a rate of 27.3 homicides per 100,000 people. D.C.'s homicide rate is almost six times higher than New York City's rate of 4.7 homicides per 100,000 people. D.C.'s homicide rate is almost four times higher than L.A.'s rate. D.C.'s homicide rate more than doubles Newark's rate, as in Newark, New Jersey. D.C. also beat out Atlanta, Chicago, Compton, and Oakland. Wow. Tell you, straight out of Compton. They beat Compton. So the issue is now, what do we do? And as the president said today, we're going to do something about it. by invoking the D.C. Home Rule Act. I'll give you all the details on that as we continue on our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
And speaking of Hollywood actors, I just saw Sylvester Stallone was endorsing Tunnels for Towers. You know, he's a big Trump guy. Dennis Quaid's done a commercial for them. Mark Wahlberg. I'm just saying there's a lot more people in quote-unquote Hollywood who are on our side than you think. But today the president decided he's going to do something about crime in D.C., and he announced it earlier this morning at the White House. We've talked about it throughout the show today, but here in our fourth and final hour on this Monday. And don't forget, Friday, we're in Cape May. That's right. Yes, on Friday, we are live in Cape May for our last show of the summer. This is it. We're not going to be back there until Halloween. So if you're thinking about coming out, come out. Grand Hotel, 3 to 7 p.m. You don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation for the show. You just come to the show. It's on the fifth floor ballroom overlooking the ocean. Oh, and speaking of the ocean, you know, Orsted, the awful, terrible wind company, they are bankrupt now. I mean, it's amazing. They've lost 100% of the gains from the time they switched from Denmark oil and natural gas to Orsted wind. And not coincidentally, their slide started just as we all began to lay the full court press on them. It's fantastic. Orsted plans a $9 billion. This was sent to me by Johnny Cook via Steve Malloy on X. Steve Malloy, Junk Science, a great friend of the show. We've had him on the show many times before, as you know. And he put out this that the Danish wind giant Orsted is running out of money and hopes to sell stock to raise money from suckers. The company, which pioneered offshore wind, has now canceled more projects than any of its competitors, including a huge site in the UK and two major wind farms in the US. For now, it looks like the only option is to sell shares. Penny stock indeed. This is the president making the announcement today on crime.
I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control. And you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people, but they're tough. And they know what's happening. And they've done it before. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C. And they're going to be allowed to do their job properly.
Now, the left hates this, obviously. They hate this. And immediately, what did they start doing? Downplaying crime in D.C. Downplaying crime. That's CNN's telling us it's not a problem. Not a problem at all. So
in the briefing, they gave us a packet of information to show us some of the arrests that were made over the weekend as this starting to ramp up or increase in federal law enforcement took place. And they were fairly low level criminals. It was somebody with possession or a DUI at one point. And there were only five of them, I believe, listed in this packet. So it's unclear. You know, he's talking about this major escalation in violent crime, but that is not quite clear from the packet of information they gave us here in the briefing. They gave
just a couple people who, you know, forget the attack on a staffer, congressional staffer, Rand Paul staffer, who was beaten. Forget the recent attack on a White House staffer who was beaten, I believe it was. No. It's fine. It's just a couple people who are playing three card Monty on the side of the street. Look, people want safe streets. Bottom line, they want safe streets. They're sick of the crime. They're sick of it. They've had it. And they want to see something done. If D.C. were a state, it would have the highest murder rate in the country. And it's also corrupt as hell. It's a corrupt city. It's got a corrupt leadership. And it's, you know, and I'm sure the cops there are grateful for the help because it's a tough city to be a cop in, and they don't have enough police. I'm sure they're grateful for the help, but here's the bottom line. I know the left is going to twist this into some sort of like militarization where, you know, it's going to be the stormtroopers on the streets because that's they always love to play that game. That's not what this is going to be. This is going to be what's happened in the course of history, which is the feds partnering with state and local to go after bad guys. Bill Clinton announced in 1993, I believe it was, he was sending in the National Guard to fight crime in L.A. to go after the Crips and the Bloods. And the Democrats stood on their feet and cheered at the State of the Union address. Yeah, Crips and the Bloods. He was sending in the cavalry to go after the Crips and the Bloods. The difference here is that D.C. doesn't want to be a partner with this administration, and the Democrats don't want to be, so they're going to act like this is a big military takeover. I mean, there are so many joint task forces that are on the books right now between DEA and state police and local police and the FBI and state police and local police and the Pennsylvania State Police and the New Jersey State Police. And then you've got all the different groups that are involved in going after the mob. And I mean, this is not a new thing. I know we're all supposed to act like, oh, my God, this is the end of times. The Nazis have finally come to send in the stormtroopers. But that's not what this is. He just said at one point Democrats were tough on crime. Bill Clinton signed the crime bill. Now, that crime bill had a lot of mistakes in it, but I'm just making the historical point that, you know, it was sweeping legislation that did a lot of bad. But at one point, Democrats were for going after criminals. And then something changed. Here's Kash Patel today from that announcement.
And how do we do it? And what are we going to bring to D.C.? What we did in Northern Virginia, thanks to Terry Cole and Governor Youngkin and the team, we stood up a task force out in my Northern Virginia field office, and we said, let's let good cops be cops. Let's get them the intelligence and what they need, and let's get the red tape out of their way, and let's get DOJ partnered up with us to bring great prosecutions. And that's exactly what we did. In 1 month, we arrested 545 violent felons, 545 in the state of Virginia, thanks to Governor Youngkin's partnership. And that simplicity in law enforcement is what's coming to Washington, D.C.
Now, did anyone who lives in Virginia feel like it was an invasion of Nazi stormtroopers out of curiosity? What he just announced there is what I'm talking about. It's a cooperation between the feds and the state. The difference is that in D.C., they don't want to cooperate. So if you've got most rational governors, most rational mayors, most rational people say, if the feds are offering us their assistance, we're going to take it. Because we have limited budgets, limited manpower, person power. I don't want to upset Justin Trudeau. And we have, you know, there's only so much manpower. There's only so much money. There's only so much overtime we can authorize. So if you're sending us help, we're going to take it. And this is not new. Like, this is not the first day in America we've announced a task force on something, a joint task force between the feds and the locals. Here's now the United States Attorney for D.C., Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Here's the problem. Assuming that they're 17 years, older than 17 years old, I can get the case. If they're under 18 years of age, I can only get the case if it's murder, rob one, rape, even if they shoot a gun but don't kill you, I can't get it. So the law has to be changed. As the president said, cashless bail. That has to be changed. All right, then even assuming I get the case, I get jurisdiction, I get a conviction, the D.C. Council has given the judges the ability to give probation on shootings. And so then it's up to them. All of these things, the Youth Rehabilitation Incarceration Reduction Act, and now they want to seal records. So if we work hard, we get a conviction, they want to wipe it out. So that needs all to be changed.
Okay,
that's all. Here's the problem. Assuming...
And you change these things, and then you work on making it safe. And that's what people want. They just want safety. It's not that complicated. They just want safe streets. And remember, the people that are most affected by crime happen to be black people and brown people, as the left says. Because the left, you know, it's always a box of crayons. Every person's a different color of something. And mobilizing the D.C. National Guard is not going to be them walking down the streets trying to intimidate people into political submission. That's not what the president and the FBI and the National Guard are going to be doing. They're not looking to intimidate people into compliance with Donald Trump, to intimidate people into becoming MAGA or else. They get shipped off to a camp. That's not what this is about. It's about this.
We're going to be removing homeless encampments from all over our parks, our beautiful, beautiful parks, which now a lot of people can't walk on. They're very dirty, got a lot of problems. But we've already started that. We're moving the encampments away, trying to take care of people. Some of those people, we don't know how they even got there. Some of those people are from different countries, different parts of the world. Nobody knows who they are. They have no idea, but they're there. Getting rid of the people from underpasses and public spaces from all over the city. There are many places that they can go, and we're going to help them as much as you can help. But they'll not be allowed to turn our capital into a wasteland for the world to see.
You're going to help them? You friggin' monster, you're going to help them? Now, the D.C. National Guard, there to intimidate. Sign up for MAGA, be part of it, put on your red hats or else.
At your direction this morning, we've mobilized the D.C. National Guard. It'll be operationalized by the Secretary of the Army, Dan Driscoll, through the D.C. Guard. You will see them flowing into the streets of Washington in the coming week. At your direction as well, sir, there are other units we are prepared to bring in. Other National Guard units, other specialized units, they will be strong. They will be tough, and they will stand with their law enforcement partners. This is nothing new for DOD. As the president noted, at the border, we've got 10,000 troops down there who've been operating in defense cooperation areas, defense zones, where there's zero illegal crossings because of troops on strikers scanning the border. We've been protecting other people's borders for 20 years. It's about time we protect our own, and we're working with ICE and CBP in Los Angeles. We did the same thing, working with the California National Guard, working with ICE officers. ICE officers deserve to do their job and not be attacked. We will work alongside all DC police and federal law enforcement to ensure this city is safe. This city is beautiful. And as I always say about President Trump to the troops, he has their back. And my message to the National Guard.
Now, you know, I was also thinking of the fact that every time I go into New York City, you probably notice this too. You go to Penn Station, and who do you see? National Guard troops walking around. Now, they're not there to intimidate you into compliance. They're not there to intimidate you into saying things the government wants. They're there to protect you from terrorists. And they've been there since 9/11. And they're there at critical junctures and critical points, and nobody has said a friggin' word about it, because it's not a takeover of, it's a cooperative effort. Cooperation being key. Doug Burgum is now talking about how the park police will be helping and how excited they are for this cooperation, because that's all it is. It's not really that big of a deal. The meltdown from the left as usual.
On behalf of the U.S. Park Police, this is the oldest federal police force in the nation. They were formed in 1791 by none other than President George Washington. They've got the awesome responsibility of protecting our nation's most sacred monuments. The National Mall, Washington Monument, Jefferson Memorial, Lincoln Memorial, Statue of Liberty, and out west, the Presidio and the Golden Gate area. These folks have tens of millions of visitors a year, the kind of people that President Trump's talking about that come from around the country and around the world to see our sacred and learn about our history and our sacred monuments. They've been doing a fantastic job, but they are so pleased the rank and file that President Trump is now allowing them to enforce the law. As those of you that live in the city may know, that the circles and the triangle parks that are spread throughout D.C. are actually federal park property. So the U.S. Park Police also have responsibility responsibility for that. These became littered with homeless camps under the Biden administration. All of you saw that. Since President Trump's executive order on March 27th, making D.C. safe and beautiful again, the U.S. Park Police have removed over 70 homeless camps. And President Trump also talked about beautification. They're stopping and enforcing the laws against graffiti on our monuments. They've removed over 80 specific attacks against our history with graffiti on our monuments. So they continue to do a great job, whether it's in their vehicles, on foot, or on the mounted police that you see.
You know, and you've seen them, if you've gone to D.C., you've seen the park police, you've seen the mounted police. Those are federal cops. If you go to a national park, you've seen federal cops. Like, this is not the end of the world here. But, of course, according to CNN, it absolutely is. Abby Cornish and some others. This is just more racism.
And in just a few hours, we're going to hear from President Trump about his plans for Washington, D.C. It's his latest target for a potential federal takeover. Over the weekend, federal agencies like the Bureau for Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the DEA posted about patrolling the city under the hashtag Make D.C. Safe Again.
Oh, no.
We've got to get the mayor to run this city properly. This city has to be run. You know, I have the right to take it over.
He also claims that the city is seeing a spike in crime numbers. So far, data doesn't show that.
Yeah, I think there's a constant thread that runs through everything that the president does. He looks for areas where there is unused presidential power, and he grabs it and he tries to use it to, bolster his own authority and standing. So,
wait, like, I'm sorry, Biden didn't do that by trying to pay off everybody's student loan debt? Huh, what? Or to create environmental regulations that would destroy businesses and force car makers to switch everything over to EVs and literally put car dealerships out of business. Biden didn't do that with executive power. Isn't it amazing how it's like as if Biden never used executive power in any areas that overreach his authority, even though he was slapped down by the courts on multiple occasions, using his authority to stop drilling on federal lands, even when people had the right to, by slowing down the permitting process deliberately on purpose. But let's keep going with this.
It doesn't matter in this context that crime is going down in D.C. He can look strong by using federal officers in roles that they don't normally use. I think it's a small step towards what he wants to really do, which is the militarization of police.
Well, the only challenge is that he doesn't have full sort of...
How would the militarization of police work exactly? I'm just curious. There's a lot more of us than them. Have you noticed? There's a lot more of us than there are police and military. That's the idea, because we are the people. How does that work? When the military, in the left's fantasy of the military taking over the country, and we're all under military rule, how does that even work? Like, I'm seriously trying to understand this. As opposed to this just being another of the many times that the feds work with their state and local partners on something. Do you think that the feds got the mafia all by themselves? No, they had the mafia task force, which was comprised of various agencies crossing state lines. And I had a friend who was on the New Jersey State Police Force who was part of that joint federal task force. He was on the New Jersey State Police. But no, this is actually just a militarization of America that's coming, and racism. Wait for it.
Legal authority to do as you're saying. It would require the city to meet certain parameters in order for him to fully take it over. That's what Mayor Bowser was just saying. You would need to prove that crime was out of control in order to be able to fully take that on. Right now, he does have authority, like to bring in the National Guard, but the challenge is this is a very progressive city. It's in fact one of the most in the entire country. We elect our mayor, we elect our D.C. City Council members. So I would expect pushback if he's trying to bring in this type of authority, especially when the residents of the city, which I think most of us are here around this table, aren't necessarily feeling the numbers that he claims are there.
Because you don't live in those areas, genius. You don't live in Anacostia. You don't live in the parts of the city that are under siege. And the National Guard's not there to berate CNN and to call them fake news and to make fun of them, despite CNN thinking that. despite CNN wishing that were the case.
I wonder if that's entirely true. So one of the problems we've seen in American cities is that we're hearing that crime is going down, but you talk to residents and they're not feeling that crime is going down. So
correct.
The data is saying one thing, but the experience of people living in the city often feels very different. Now, that's not to say that correct. I'm hearing from a lot of people in D.C., yeah, we really want this. But Trump does have a way of, like, pushing a button that resonates with people sometimes.
Yeah, it's not a subtle button. Here is Stephen Miller, the president's chief of staff, speaking to News Nation. Here's how he talked about it.
The president has been very clear that he is going to take the action necessary to secure the city of Washington for the people who live here, for all the American people and all who visit here. It's our capital city. It is more violent than Baghdad. It is more violent than parts of Ethiopia, parts of many of the most dangerous places in the world.
So we're back to this language, right? The no-go zones, the, like, this is the worst place in the entire world. Talking about juveniles. I'm like, right. People are one beat away from saying super predators. Yeah. It feels familiar.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does.
In a good way?
No.
From Newsbusters. So it's super predators, by the way, was a term coined by Hillary Clinton on the left. But to that point that was made by that one panelist, yeah, you know what? The data may say one thing, and a lot of that is because these crimes are not prosecuted by these woke prosecutors. The people on the streets feel something very, very different, and they want the crime problem to end, period. Don't worry. You can rest easy. This is not going to be the militarization of America. You'll still be a free person, just a safer one, if you live in a crime-ridden hellhole. Okay, that's the show. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon is up next. Have a great rest of your night. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.